This episode is brought to you by Gaia Natural Baby, Australian made and the ultimate gentle, effective skincare solution for your little one.
There's actually a lot more I wish I would love to share on social media. And there's so many things I want to say. I'm like, I can't say that. I'll probably lose 500 followers after saying that because they'll say that I'm being triggering or over the top or, you know.
So you are mindful, are you?
Like, with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, go through the I don't give a fuck stage.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, well, then you can tune out.
Welcome to Parenthood, where our lives and stories aren't perfect, but very real. I'm your host, Leonie Akidinor, and each week I'll be peeling back the often silent struggle we face as parents and bringing you guilt-free conversations to help you feel seen and heard. It's like group therapy. Leave your judgment at the door. Let's begin.
Welcome to the show.
What I really want to know is, are we done at baby number four or is the five in the midst?
I was hoping for a boy, to be honest.
Bang.
So you can't put a line through it. But if it kind of sends it to the edge, you kind of, you can know it.
He made a comment.
Didn't know where to play.
He made a comment the other day about, oh, well, you know, when we build the pool house, Alfie will just have that bedroom and the other baby. I'm like, other baby?
Oh.
So I think you are more into the fifth than me at the moment. I could just never say never.
Yeah.
I thought of me actually culling it and saying, no, I'm actually done. I could never do that. Yeah. So like Ambrose, I think we'll just leave it open.
Yeah.
See how we go. See how the 4 month regression goes in terms of sleep.
Yeah.
And you know how busy we are really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much and you gotta know.
I just said to Ambrose, you know,
if we did
have another baby, like probably need a nanny by that stage because you feel so bad constantly relying on your family and friends.
Yeah.
And we're so busy at the moment. Mm. You know, I'm still working with a baby 6 weeks old. Never say never. My obstetrician will hate me for saying that.
Yeah.
Never say never.
It's like, I'm back.
Hey, I'm pregnant.
Yes. So one thing I always find it really interesting and super helpful for our audience as well to understand how people get through really tough times. Your father passed away a few years back, and I'm so sorry to hear that firstly. But, I mean, that is such a shock. Like, losing a parent is they say it's one of the biggest kind of experiences of your life. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, I guess, firstly, how that impacted you and then as a couple, sort of how you worked through that?
It was definitely a shock and it was totally unexpected. And I had, an amazing relationship with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Super close. All our families are really close.
Yeah.
Definitely a shock to the system. I guess, you know, we had Alfie and Essie at that stage. I didn't have Coco.
Why was it a shock? So how did he pass away?
He was diagnosed with bowel cancer, but all the bowel cancer was removed and he was just doing prophylactic chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And when he, after his last chemo session, and he was so well throughout his treatment, after his last chemo session, he felt unwell like you do with chemo, just the typical chemo symptoms, nauseous, had no appetite.
Yeah.
We ended up, I said, we need to call an ambulance. So we called an ambulance for him because one morning he just couldn't get out of bed and that was not my dad. He'd be at the brekkie table every morning. And then long story short, admitted to hospital and they're like, yep, just needs IV fluids for chemo dehydration. And then I think it was 24 hours later, he had a heart attack in the middle of the night and completely arrested. And then mum woke up to a phone call at 6 a.m. saying, you need to make your way to hospital. Yeah, your husband's not going to make it. Mm. And at that stage, mum was meant to pick him up that morning to come home. So we got the all clear that, no, he's fine. He just needed some hydration and then kind of got us off guard, didn't it? And so then
very sad.
Very sad time. So then Ambrose and I, obviously with my family, made our way into the hospital and said our very unexpected goodbyes. It's shit. It's really awful. And I just can't believe that people have to go through this every day and it's a part of life. But I think I'm a very diplomatic person and so was my dad. It is what it is. And I think, you know, I'm a believer that if he didn't die that way, obviously you have to make yourself feel better. If he didn't die that way, I feel like his cancer would have come back and it would have been a terrible death for him.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think just it's life. It's terrible. And the hardest part of life. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think the hardest part of dad passing away, it's obviously tragic when you lose a parent.
Yeah.
It's seeing the other parent have to navigate life without them. That's horrific. But also having another baby. I remember having Coco and being like, oh my God, I'm going to give birth. My dad was always our first visitor with mum and, you know, his parents. And I'm like, he's not going to walk in that door and meet this baby. But, you know, she came at the right time, Coco. And I think, you know, I take it as she was such a blessing from him.
Yeah. How soon after did you have
Coco? I'm trying to think. How long after? 2 years, I think, later, we conceived Coco. Because Coco would have been, Essie would have been nearly two. So 18 months or 2 years later, we can see Coco. And then, yeah, she was born and definitely lifted the spirits, you know. It's one door closes, another opens, as people say. And, yeah, I think having a baby just brings so much love and joy to everybody.
How did, I guess, as you're grieving and things like that, what was that like, Ambrose, for you? Like, how, you know, and again, for those listening who might be in the situation, like, were there things that you felt you did that was really supportive from your perspective, you know, what did that look like in your family?
Yeah, I could see how sad Amelia was. So I was really, it was a bit just like distressing, obviously.
Yeah,
just, like seeing your partner see. So.
I feel like I held it.
She did have it.
Yeah.
But it's just an adjustment, I suppose, isn't it? Mm. Like, it's life's never the same after kind of losing like a parent, I would imagine.
Mm.
And but yeah, you just got to. Like, yeah, put your shoes on and get on with it.
Push on for the kids.
Yeah.
Sit there and cry all day and it's
very strong.
Yeah. I remember Emery saying, your dad just died. Like, what's wrong with you? You should be more upset. I'm like, I am. I'm just, you've got to just push on.
Mm.
And that's what he would have wanted.
Yeah. Did it come back, you know, with it? You know, it never leaves you, right? So was it down the track you find that you're still grieving, you know, in the most unexpected way, or did you sort of...
I miss him a lot now. I miss him when we built this house.
Okay.
He would have loved to have been a part of this. He would have loved the old house that we had that we transformed.
Mm.
He was like a real tinkerer, so he would have loved helping Ambrose, you know, dishevel the house and then seeing the progress. He was a big pool guy, so, you know, he would have loved to have seen the development of our pool.
Yeah.
He had a really good relationship with Ambrose, so... You know, it's all little things like that. I'm like, oh, God, I wish I could have shown Dad that. Or I would call Dad for everything. Like, we've got a tradie here now, and my dad would have been able to just do that for us.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's life.
It's life.
It's crazy. How was it, speaking of your beautiful house that we're sitting in right now, so what was that like, I guess, you know, building? Was it, did you tear down and build, or did you reno, or what did you do?
Renovation. Mm. Like, so I had a big old house, big footprint.
Yep.
We pretty much stripped it back to, like, no roof, no second level. So it's pretty much starting again.
Yeah.
Just probably the piers and the beams is anything. So, so it's kind of unrecognizable. But there was like a lot of, like, as I said, the footprint was good and we kind of worked around that. So long process, moved out and a lot of pain.
I was going to say,
financial pain.
Oh, my God. It was
financial pain.
A lot of financial pain, but.
But no, we're happy. It was always also making decisions. I didn't want to kind of, I knew. The dust settles, you move in, you go, oh, I should have done that, should have done that. Didn't want to do that. So it was like making hard decisions where once the dust settles, you're in, you kind of...
We really stretched ourselves. But
that's all.
That was the shittest, for our relationship. I couldn't even talk to him because he was just stress levels through the roof.
Because
you put three?
But it's pretty stressful, but that's all.
We do it again.
That's all.
Yeah.
We're not opposed to risk.
Ambrose does his best work under pressure.
Yeah.
So he, thrives off pressure. It was, it's annoying moving out, but it's worth it. Worth it.
For sure. Because, you 10 months, you blink and a year goes by, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just gotta
get your teeth. So it was about a year to get it all done.
We were just lucky we had a builder that had the manpower to turn it over quickly.
Yeah.
I'm so impatient. So I was like, can we have it done yesterday? And he's like, cool. Amber's like, it doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this build did teach me a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Briefly interrupting this episode to give a shout out to our episode sponsor, Gaia Natural Baby. We love Gaia products in our household for so many reasons. Firstly, they feel so beautiful on the skin, but predominantly because our youngest son, Charlie, has had really sensitive skin for a long time now. He's super sensitive to different products and even the weather. Depending on the season, his skin can get really dry, sometimes itchy. So it's always been something we've had to manage. Since we found Gaia, though, his skin has had a visible difference. It just appears a lot less irritated and it just seems so much more moisturized and he seems happier. It turns out that Gaia was actually started by an Aussie mum whose child
also had sensitive skin. And so that's why they have such a huge focus on not only being affordable, but also producing products that are pure, natural, and have organic ingredients
where possible.
Gaia's range of body washes are over 98% natural and are now officially certified with ACO Cosmos Natural, which is a global organic and natural standard for the cosmetic sector, which is huge. I mean, this would be why so many Aussie parents love Gaia products.
To find out more about Gaia for yourself, check them out at GaiaSkinNaturals.com. And I'll pop the details in the show notes.
But yeah.
I mean, I ask as well because I feel like half the time you're sitting at a kid's birthday party and everyone's either talking about, oh, should we knock over and build out, you know, or, you know, redo where we and stay where we are? Because, you know, if we want to move further into the city, it's just too, you know, or should we reno it? Or actually, because everyone's talking about property. So I guess you said worst year or one of the toughest years of your life, right? What did it look like behind closed doors? Because for those listening who might want to venture into this, give them a heads up. Like, what happened?
They don't say the third most, like, stressful thing to do was move out.
So yeah.
And then everything was demolished. So there's nowhere to put anything. Yeah. We knew we were coming back here. So soul destroying the move and then knowing that it wasn't going to be for very long, you know what I mean?
Move you to a rental nearby or something like that. Yeah, okay.
It was close to my parents and also the school.
Yes, so
it
okay. That's benefits.
It was good for about 30 seconds. And then,
we were well and truly ready to move back in. Libraries really enjoyed the process. Me, not so much. Yeah. I mean, I love choosing all the finishes with my sister, who's an interior designer, and Ebro's he's very good at project management and, you know.
But I think most people don't understand, like,
how hard it is.
The layman doesn't understand how it works. So everything goes over time and over budget.
Yeah.
So it's something if you're not aware of that, makes it mega stressful. Amelia was pregnant at the same time. Yeah.
That was
just kind of be done. But we lived back kind of where I grew up. So there was kind of a bit of reconnection there. And it was.
I think it's
at capacity.
You love property, though, so I think this will be.
But I'll look here.
Okay.
We'd like to do it again.
Yeah. So one of the hardest things is obviously relocating, managing the kids, managing the different schedules, trying to run businesses, trying to be here, I guess, to make decisions as well. Like, what are the things?
You need to, like, be hands-on. You can't be at work working 40 hours a week. Yeah. And there's commonly there's things to do. You got to speak to, say, council or something like that, or come and meet, like, on site. Otherwise, it won't get done.
Ambrose really made it his mission.
So, yeah, you need someone who's not working, really.
Well, that's right.
I'm not as kind of.
Well, you really made it your mission to say, by the time we build, I want to be at home. And it was. Like, he was able to be working from home flexible. So you could be here.
So it takes effort just to kind of, even if you're not building it.
Yeah, just to manage it, 100%.
You're right.
Because there's like hundreds of decisions.
Yeah, yeah, I mean. Yeah. And if you're at work, it's like, last time.
Everyone would bring me and I'd be like, Ambrose, can you go meet the builder? I don't know anything. And you'd be like, yeah, we're there in five.
See, this is the thing. So big decisions, and I think it's probably maybe it's our age group and also a lot of our audience have younger children. So it's that point of like, you know, before they hit primary school, do we want to, you know where we're going to live, or, you know, what are we going to do for the high school? And, you know, just things like that where you're always thinking about the next step for the family. And I'm actually currently moving at the moment, and it is just a disaster. And we're literally only doing some aesthetic work, like a bit of a paint job, very minor things like that, bit of a facelift. And I'm literally pulling my hair out because, to your point, like, they're like, can you be here now? Because we want to just double check this or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was just we're just painting the bloody house that we were done. Like, why do you need
I think the best advice will be move out because I was like, I want to stay here. Amber's like, we cannot stay here.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's just, you're right, move out, get it all done and dusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much, different things, I guess, to think about.
To it, you know what I mean?
Big time,
It's all kind of like playing the long game, you know what I mean? Time goes quick, and if you're kind of moving forward with something and you stay committed,
much selling yourself for the next 50 years.
That's it, really.
Just drink your way through all your
Exactly. You guys are very aspirational in that you are really following your passions with what you love doing. You're got the family values, you're working hard as a couple, you know, and all of the great things. So I just want to thank you so much for sort of spending the time to talk to us today. And I guess I'd love to know, like, what is next for both of you? I mean, What's in the pipeline?
So Minipus has got a few business ideas, so she can come up.
Yeah, I've always got a thousand things in my mind that I want to, you know, make come to life.
Yeah. Yeah. Ideas woman.
Yeah. I'm an ideas woman, and I act on things pretty quickly. I've had this, we've had this business in the back of, you know, production for a couple of years now called Mother Suckers. And I've spoken about it briefly on my Instagram over the years, and I'm like, oh, it's just, you got to go in all or nothing. So we've been working behind the scenes on that. So that should be launching later this year, which is basically going to help every single female in this world. It's an excellent product. And then on top of that, obviously finishing my book.
Yes.
That's a really big priority of mine. Yeah.
When's that? Do we know? Like, well, does, and how do books work?
The first half of this year we're aiming for. I'm writing flat out.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to publish the first half of this
year. Wow, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to meet a deadline. They're being very flexible with me. They're amazing to work with.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's lovely writing as I'm going through it because I'm talking exactly how I'm feeling and there's no sugarcoating anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the book, The Mother Suckers, probably more property stuff. Who knows?
Oh, my gosh. It's honestly amazing. Can you give us a glimpse on, like, exact time on the book, or is it all mystery at this point?
No, I can delve into some of it. Yeah. It's basically heavily based on the fourth trimester, which is so unspoken of. You know, as a midwife, a mum, and a sleep consultant, I talk about this regularly on my socials and I deal with it in my business. And I'm actually talking about the realities of what to expect after you have your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, there's birthing classes, there's breastfeeding classes, there's nothing to prepare you when you come home with your baby and how your relationship changes, the family dynamics change, everything changes. Yeah. And I'm so passionate about mental health. Mm-hmm. And I think we have such high postnatal depression rates, postnatal anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is to do with the fourth trimester and the lack of support we have, and, you know, sleep. Sleep is such a huge factor in every part of our life, whether you are having a baby or pregnant or not, or you've got a child. Sleep is an essential, and we have a very successful sleep business, which is one of our major focuses, and that'll be growing as well this year. But a lot of the book will be heavily based on that.
Yeah, it's amazing. So
the importance of it.
It's amazing. So more, is it personal stories? Is it tips?
It's both. It's both. Yeah. It's me talking now as it is, and then talking about, you know, other people's experiences and my suggestions on how to ease through it much, you know, more smoothly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
I still love it. It's how I talk on my socials.
Yeah. Like,
fuck me dead. This
in case of good doubt, I'm not like,
I said to Penguin Books, I said to them, are you sure you want me to write this? Because I don't mean to swear, but it's, you know. And they're like, no, we want you to be you.
There's
a lot of a lot of hating on Ambrose. No, they're not. There's talks about, you know, the turbulence that you know, your relationship experiences.
And
life as it is.
Important to talk about, which is the premise of the podcast as well. Like, the more you hear other people's experiences, the more you're like, oh, okay, so that's normal, you know.
I know, because social media, you know, look at all these influencers and you're like, oh, wow, he's super dad. Oh, me, this isn't he that. And it's so not like
absolutely. It's interesting you said it, because even when, you know, watching a lot of your content, Amelia, you're so honest and so raw, and I think that's what grabs your attention, particularly your attention, our attention, of your content, because it's just like you're speaking direct to me, and you're not trying to put on a persona or try to, you know, you don't have the sparkly kitchen behind you and you're doing your pose. Like, it's not like that.
I know, everyone's like, can you post photos of your beautiful house? I'm like, I can't. So dirty. I've got shit on the floor. And they're like, but I want to see that. I'm like, no. There's actually a lot more I wish I would love to share on social media, and there's so many things I want to say. I'm like, I can't say that. I'll probably lose 500 followers after saying that, because they'll say that I'm being triggering or over the top or, you know.
So you are mindful, are you? Like, with it. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, go through the, I don't give a fuck stage. Like,
yeah.
If you don't like it, well, then you can tune out.
Yeah. I think you have to get there, particularly with the bigger your audience, the more the trolls that will come, right? Yeah. Like, it's just naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But I think, to your point, that makes sense that the book would be such an accurate reflection of the raw kind of, you know.
Doing a real person. Well, anyway. Now I feel like every time is so different. And that's a thing. When you have a baby, everyone just assumes it gets easier and easier. That's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to say that in the book, I talk about like a lot of the, not the negatives of motherhood, but just how hard it is. Mm. There's also joyous moments, of course. Otherwise, why would we keep going back?
Yeah.
But I'm very honest in how hard and challenging the fourth trimester is.
Yeah, I cannot wait to read it. Yeah. Well, I'm saying congratulations already, but I'll say it again right for a week.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, stay tuned.
Can't wait. Thanks so much again, guys, for your time.
And thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rating or review, and share it with your friends. Want to contribute to the conversation? Hit us up on Instagram at ParenthoodPod and join our Facebook group. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
The Parenthood Podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we produce on, the land of the Wurundjeri people. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging.